Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, why do some people get recognized at work while others work just as hard and go unacknowledged? It's a known fact that while your technical abilities may get you the job, it's your interpersonal skills and emotional intelligence that get you noticed and promoted. So we'll end today's show with Kim Zola, author of Enhancing Your Executive Edge, and she's going to share tips on how to become the one who stands out in a good way. First, we're joined by Dr. Jamie Turndor, a.k.a. Dr. Love. She's been delighting readers and audiences for over three decades with her engaging blend of professional expertise, spicy humor, and ability to turn clinical psychobabble into easy-to-understand concepts that transform lives and heal relationships. Her work's been featured on national networks including NBC, CBS, and CNN, who, by the way, recently dubbed her their resident love doctor. She's featured on websites such as WebMD and iVillage, Discovery, MSNBC.com, and in magazines such as Cosmopolitan, Men's Health, and Marie Claire. She also writes a column called We Can Work It Out for Psychology Today online. Dr. Turndor is the author of the new Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship. And her new Hay House memoir, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. So Dr. Jamie Turndor, a.k.a. Dr. Love, welcome to the show today.
Hello. I think you're saying or without an F on the end, Orf. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going deaf on top of every other problem.
It's Turndorf.
Turndorf, and it's easier to say Dr. Love. Nice to be with you, Vicki.
And nice to have you here. So I want to begin a little with your story, Dr. Love, about you said as a young girl that you received a detailed premonition of the man you'd someday marry.
Yeah.
And so you never really bothered so much point in dating anyone because you just knew that you would know this person as soon as you met them.
That's why they call me Dr. Love. This is exactly how it went for me. I saw the man that I would marry as a detailed premonition. So I just waited until he appeared in my life.
And so you said that when you did meet him, you did sit up and pay attention. You knew the moment you met him. And yet, really, if you look at it logically, it did not seem like a match made in heaven.
Not at all.
For want of a better phrase, you were a student at that time.
Right.
You were raised by two Jewish atheists. I'm not sure how Jewish atheism works, but they were atheists.
Well, Judaism is more of a heritage, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
your parents were both atheists?
Atheists, devout atheists.
This man that you knew would be your husband was your professor, also a Jesuit priest.
For most of his life, he had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests. He taught at the Vatican, and he was a religious pioneer who was launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church's attempts to block the legalization of divorce. He was a founder of the Liberation Theology Movement, designed to fight church oppression from within, and his fight resulted in the legalization of divorce and changed the course of Italian history, and that launched him to international fame. And soon after, the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows, and he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood and was recruited by Vassar, and that's where I met him, at Vassar.
And he was also married at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how you guys eventually came together and, you know, what that knowing feeling was like for you.
Well, it was beyond logic. It was beyond reason. When I stepped into his office, I had this out-of-body experience. I felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And when I came back into my body, this was the first out-of-body experience I'd ever had. I didn't know what was happening to me. But when I came back into my body, I got the message, remember every aspect of this meeting, he will be everything to you one day. And then I forgot the message. I wasn't ready to do anything about it. And then 4 years later in my senior year, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis. And I had heard that, among other things, he had founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So I asked him if he could help me with the statistical portion of my thesis. And he said yes, even though he wasn't my advisor. And within a few weeks, we just knew. And that was it. And we
were
madly in love with each other. And
magic, as they call it.
27 years.
27 years you were together.
27 years.
And so a huge loss for you when this man that you adored passed away.
Well, I can't say that it was a huge loss because what I discovered, see, the thing is, we were on vacation in Italy. And as the day we left for Italy, we had been having premonitions, actually, the whole last year of his life. He was going to die of an accident, Vicki. We just didn't know when or where.
So he had them, too?
We both had it. One night, I was lying on his shoulder in bed, and he said, Jamie, I'm not going to be able to keep my word and live very old and die with you. I'm going to die of an accident. And I said, I know. I'm just going to be alone the rest of my life. That's what I said. And he said, no, you won't. I'm going to send you my clone. And we never said another word about it.
Right.
Isn't that wild? And I explain in the Hay House book how he sent me his clone. It's a most magical, magical story. But in any case, when we're on the beach in Italy on our vacation, a bee swoops down and stings him. And he basically suffocates to death from this mistreated bee sting. So I go back to the hotel room alone, and I'm shaking, and I'm trembling, and I'm crying. And the next thing I know, Vicki, I feel his hand stroke the entire length of my spine. And I jump up off the bed because I know what I felt. And he has been with me ever since. And the man has made it a point of letting me know that he is present through these over-the-top manifestations, because he wants the world to know that those we love who are in spirit form, they don't die. They just transform into a different format, into a different form, into a spirit form. And our relationships need not end in death. And so as a result of my experiences with him, yes, it's true, he's not with me in physical form, but he's definitely with me in spirit form. And discovering for myself that relationships don't end in death and love never dies, I've developed a new form of grief therapy where I show people how to say hello, not goodbye.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break, Dr. Lev, but I want to continue that and ask you how we don't say goodbye, but how we continue saying hello. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest is Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Dr. Lev, and you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We will be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Let's see if I guess that... purpose just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Real people, real life, real radio. Really. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. We are talking in this segment with Dr. Jamie Tandorf. She's also known as Dr. Love. And her new Hay House memoir is called Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. And she was sharing her personal story before the break. And as a result of her personal story, it's helped her put together, because she's been in the therapy business for a long, long time, it's helped her put together a program for grief, which is a little different. Would you agree on that, Dr.
Love? It's not just a little different.
A
it's
lot.
Like burn me at the stake different. Because the traditional Western approach to grief is grieve, let go, and move on, and you better do it in 6 months, otherwise we're going to slap a label on you. You have complicated grief syndrome. We're going to try to put pills down your throat. So traditional Western therapy really leaves the bereaved at a greater loss. And on top of that, traditional Western grief therapy doesn't offer us a way of making peace with those who have passed over. And I can't think of a soul alive who doesn't harbor some unfinished business with someone who's passed. So my new method not only shows you how to say hello, not goodbye, it shows how we can even make peace with the deceased. I have created a technique called dialoguing with the departed, where I show you how you can do a back-and-forth conversation and eventually arrive at resolution. And the beautiful thing is that very often, as one of my patients said, I wish my mother would hurry up and die so we could work this out, because in spirit form, beings are more evolved, and they're more able to see the mistakes they made when they were living, which means you have a better opportunity to make peace with beings in spirit than you did with when that person lived in a body.
Mm.
And I learned this through firsthand experience when the first week after my husband left his body, I went to the local car garage to have my car repaired, and Jean always did the car repair. And when I walked in, I said hello, and the woman behind the desk said, meeting me for the first time, you know, my husband died. And with that, I heard her husband banging on my door saying, would you please tell her to stop making the same mistake I did with our kid? And I was flabbergasted because, well, number one, I didn't know that I could hear other, you know, spirit presences besides Jean. But also, I was hearing him clearly say, I made a mistake and I see that now.
Mm.
And I told her so, and she just said, but that's exactly right. He did make this mistake, and I am making the same mistake. So we can make peace with beings in spirit in a way that we never could, so when they were living.
Right.
So that's very exciting how the dialoguing works.
Yeah, and you say you've been talking about this since 2006, and
Sharing
your story, or our story, yours and Jean's story with clients, with radio, lecture audiences, etc.
This is my first week, really, publicly on the radio, so I'm kind of losing it with you.
Well, good, well, good. We're breaking ground here for you then on that. And you say that people usually fall into four camps. There's the people who are frightened by the prospect of connecting with the spirit realm. There's,
well, you do your homework, Vicki.
There are those who are immensely relieved and comforted to discover the truth as they see it. And then there's the third group experience a sense of jealousy, despair, hurt, or anger. And the fourth group, of course, comprises of those who just don't believe it, period. So so what do you take away from these people, and what have they shown you about talking to them, I guess?
All right. So the first group, well, the first group is actually the group that's been indoctrinated by traditional religious teachings, you know, because what I discovered, and I found this out the hard way, or it was really remarkable. And I'm going to just make a little aside to come back to the answer. Well, the first night I was back from Italy, I heard my husband quoting a passage to me. I had no idea what I was hearing. And the next day I go to his priest and I tell the priest, you know, my husband's speaking to me. And he looks at me, raises his brow in obvious skepticism. And then he says, when I tell him what Jean said, dear God, at first I did not believe you that Jean was speaking to you, but I believe you now. And he said, you're quoting an obscure biblical passage from the Communion of Saints. Like I would know, because I never even went to church or read the Bible, and Jean and I didn't discuss religion, at least not when he lived in a body. So what I found out, it took me a year to understand why Jean quoted that passage to me, because he was a religious pioneer in life. He continues to be a religious pioneer in his spirit body. The Communion of Saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with God and the saints. And since we're supposed to stay in communion or communication with God and the saints, it means there's a biblical foundation for us staying in communication with our loved ones in spirit. Now, people don't realize this. When they're raised in traditional Christian faith, they are told that when a loved one dies, you are out of contact with that person until you die and you reconnect with that person in spirit. So what we're being told about the afterlife is dead wrong. Heaven is a state, not a place, and there's no reason for us to live in an emotional wasteland disconnected from loved ones.
Okay,
in spirit.
So we only have like a couple of minutes left here. So I want to ask you then, so if we get over this not believing, or you know, somebody already may
just
believe,
reconnect.
How do they open themselves up to reconnect?
Well, I have a series of exercises in the book where I show you how to create a state of receptivity. There are all kinds of fun exercises that open up all the channels for you, because you don't need a psychic to do this for you. We're born with the ability to do this. So I just help you clear away the beliefs that you shouldn't be doing. This isn't devil worship. You just open your heart. I show you how to recognize the signs. For a lot of people, they discover that their loved ones have been reaching out to them all along. They just didn't know it because they weren't recognizing the signs. So I show you how to get a state of receptivity, recognize the signs, and then go into a special trance that I put you in, and then you just dialogue if needed to reconnect. And, of course, you reconnect to whatever degree you need. You know, if you just want to say goodbye because somebody was ripped from you due to a sudden illness or accident, or if you want to continue a relationship, which makes sense for children who've lost parents, parents who've lost children, the elderly who may not wish to form another primary attachment. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if you have unfinished business, you're going to want to continue the dialogue till you make peace.
Well, Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Dr. Love, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story with our listeners. Your new book, Hay House Memoir, is called Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased.
And Vicki, if people come to my website, Ask Dr. Love, askdrlove.com, just sign up for my newsletter. I'm offering now a free gift, the first, the preface and the introduction. And if people pre-order the book now, there's a little gift. There's a gift sweepstakes.
Okay, so if they're pre-ordering, it's not out now. When is it out?
You can pre-order it now on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It'll be out in the third week of August.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And you can find out more again at askdrlove.com, askdrlove.com, and also drjamieturndorf.com.
I wouldn't go there. Go to Ask Dr. Love.
All right. We have to take a quick break. We will be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And for those who don't know, we are celebrating our 7th anniversary live on air with Conversations Live this month. Next week's going to be our anniversary date. But we're going to bring a little clip to you. Before I do that, and next week we're going to bring more clips to you of the past year. But before I do that, I just want to give a shout out for an event that's coming up here in the Northwest area. 50 Soiree is an event for 50 Shades of Grey fans and adult fiction book lovers. It's been going on a couple of years. It's a 3-night, 2-day tour. It goes through Portland, Bainbridge Island, and of course, Seattle. If you look it up on the web, you'll see photos from past events. There is going to be a silent auction there. There's going to be a wine tasting event. There's a masquerade charity event. And from that, the auction proceeds go to Dawn, which is the Domestic Abuse Women's Network. I think I was told 30% of the proceeds go to Dawn from that masquerade charity event. So there's also an opportunity to win an all expenses paid 5-star vacation to beautiful Bali for two. So there's a ton of stuff going on there. So the best thing to do if you're interested in this 50 Shades or 50 Soiree for 50 Shades of Grey fans is go to the website, which is 50. I'm going to have to spell it out to you. It's 50 spelled out sargaso.wordpress.com/all-about-the-soiree. That's kind of long. So why don't you just do this? Email me at info@conversationslive.net or call 800-495-7617 if you want to get that. You didn't quite get that website there. But that's coming up July 31st, August 3rd. They're expecting to sell out. There's only a select number of people that can attend. So if you're interested, as I said, give me a call and I'll get the website to you. All right. So we're going to bring you a very quick clip that I played with ABC's Dan Harris. He is a hardcore journalist, works for Nightline, Good Morning America, and worked a lot with Diane Sawyer and some of the greats from ABC. And he was looking for hard facts on how he could help himself because he was not in a happy place. And you can find out the full interview at conversationslive.net. But we're going to bring you a clip here where he just gets to the point where he actually found something that he thought might work for him because he was kind of a cynic and felt that much of the self-help material out there was built on hype, grandiose, false promises, and not much substance. But this he felt might work for him. He read a book by Dr. Mark Epstein. So we're going to bring that clip to you right now.
Meditation is a huge PR problem. You know, I know we're in Seattle right now, where people may be a little bit open-minded. But even if you don't, as I did, labor under the delusion that meditation is only for people who are hippies or live in a yurt or whatever, you probably are likely to suspect that it's even if it's good for you, it's too hard for you. It involves, quote unquote, clearing the mind, et cetera, et cetera. So there are all these misconceptions about meditation out there, and I bought into all of them. As it turns out, I was wrong about all of it, and I decided to give it a shot, and it's made a real difference in my life.
Right. And one of the things that you recommend to everybody, and you do say, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but you ran your book and the tips you give in there by experts, but you say just do 5 minutes a day. And I think that's great advice. That's actually what I have to do with my workout every day because I don't enjoy it. I say I'll do 5 minutes and then I end up going 10, you know, to 30 or whatever. But tell us why you say just 5 minutes.
Well, I think that the workout analogy is good because this is exercise for your brain. It is not, you know, you're not communing with the universe. You're not floating off into endless bliss or cosmic goo. It really is. It requires a lot of grit. What you're trying to do is focus on one thing. Usually it's your breath. You're just trying to feel your breath coming in and going out. And then every time your mind wanders, which it will a million times, you're going to catch it wandering and return your attention to the breath. And every time you do that, you're breaking this lifelong habit we have of walking around in a daydream of anticipation and memory. I do think the exercise analogy is really good. And I also think 5 minutes a day is enough to get you started because it will change the relationship you have with the voice in your head, the voice that, you know, has you putting your hand in the fridge when you're not hungry or losing your temper when you don't really need to, or checking your email when your kids are trying to talk to you. And, I think you should tell yourself you're going to do 5 minutes and you're never going to do any more. And maybe it'll grow, maybe it won't. But the dailiness of it, the daily collision with the zoo of your mind is likely to give you a leg up the next time the voice in your head gives you a stupid suggestion.
Right, right. You know, and so many people will say, oh, my mind's much too active or I'm much too busy. But what they're really saying is, you know, I have no control or power over my time. And just everybody, as you say, frequently has just 5 minutes a day.
Yeah, I don't care how. I mean, I'm extremely busy, and I don't care if you have 17 kids and four jobs. You definitely have 5 minutes right before you go to bed, when you pull in the driveway at home, before you walk into the house. There's definitely 5 minutes, and at the very least, you can find 2 minutes. I just think that the daily discipline of holding the live fish of your mind in your hand will really give you perspective on your life, on this voice in your head that is yanking you around so much. I think it can make a huge difference.
Right. And the scientific studies, of course, support this. Neuroscience has made great advances on this and can measure the impact of how it affects the brain. And, I mean, we all know it improves focus, lowers blood pressure. I heard you talking with Dr. Oz. He even said it can help with psoriasis because it calms the immune system, irritable bowel syndrome, binge eating. And the interesting thing, of course, is that, you know, once the brain starts to feel good, it wants more of it.
Yeah. You know, the radical notion here is that we have always subconsciously, I think, assumed that our happiness is dependent upon external things like the quality of our childhood, did we marry well, are we making enough money, how's our health. In fact, what meditation suggests or proposes is the notion that that happiness can be self-generated, that it's a skill, that you can train your mind just the way you can train your body in the gym, and that this exercise of catching your mind wandering and bringing it back to whatever you're focusing on, that's a bicep curl for your brain. And you can learn how to stop the mind wandering and stop getting yanked around by its noxious suggestions. And it can, as I keep saying, make a big difference. Again, it's not going to solve all of your problems. It's not going to make you taller or wealthy, but it will make you happier.
Right. And I want to talk just a little about when you were getting into this, you had a new boss, Ben Sherwood, 2011 this was, and you said you spent months adrift, you know, just not really reaching at work. And he told you he said, up your game, Dan, stop being so zen. So talk to us about that, because when you talked with your mentor, he said you'd fallen into the pitfalls that some people do with meditation.
Yeah, there is a pitfall that you can fall into with meditation. It's a misapplication, but it's possible to get passive to misread meditation where you become complacent or resigned, let people push you around, that is not what meditation is designed to do. What meditation is designed to do is help you to see things clearly so that you can, and this is a cliche, but one of the few cliches I like, respond instead of react to things. Mm-hmm. We spend much of our lives in this automatic pilot where we're just kind of responding habitually and automatically to stimuli like anger or frustration. But through meditation, you learn how to respond wisely. And there's a reason why you're seeing executives, Marines, soldiers, athletes, artists, scientists adopting this ancient and often falsely considered strange practice, because it helps you focus and helps you make smarter, less emotional decisions.
Right. What surprised you most when you were doing your research, Dan?
What surprised me most was my ability to change, frankly. I mean, it's not like like my life's a nonstop parade of unicorns and rainbows. It's just that, you know, there's a certain amount of suffering inherent in life, especially if you want to achieve something. It's hard if you're ambitious. And I'm not just talking about career. I'm talking about parenting, volunteer work, whatever it is you're doing. You know, to be great at whatever you're doing, it requires a certain amount of suffering. Even if you don't care about being great, just being alive requires a certain amount of suffering. But we tend to make it worse for ourselves than it needs to be. And what I found is I'm much better now at figuring out how much worrying I need to do in order to get done what I need to accomplish, and then cutting it off when it's no longer useful. I talk about this in the book, but you know, the 17th time that I'm running through all the awful consequences of missing my flight to wherever I've got to go for my next story, maybe on the 17th time I can ask myself, is this useful? Do I need to keep worrying about this?
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to harness what I call constructive anguish and to chop off useless rumination has really made a big difference.
Mm. Well, I know that your wife used to call you Hurricane Harris. What does she call you now today?
There's a reason why I called the book 10% Happier. If she was on the line right now, she would lecture you on the 90% moron that I continue to be. So there are days where I am still Hurricane Harris in her view.
And 10% Happier, really quickly, tell us why you called it that.
Two reasons. One, to counter program against the baloney that you hear from self-help gurus who say that you can solve all of your problems through positive thinking, which just isn't true. And the second is that it was it just grew out of conversations I had with people at my office who would ask me very skeptically, why are you meditating? What happened to you? And I started answering, oh, because it makes me 10% happier. And I found that the look on their face would transform from scorn to genuine interest.
And that, again, was a clip from an interview we did with ABC's Dan Harris. You can find the whole interview on conversationslive.net. And one of the reasons I loved that book is because he is a very good journalist. He was looking for hardcore facts there. He entered this with such skepticism and remained skeptical about many of the self-help things he came across. But this meditation really worked for him. And, it opened up a whole new way of thinking and experiencing for him. The book, again, called 10% Happier, How I Tamed the Voice in My Head, I have to put my glasses on, Reduced Stress and Found Self-Help That Actually Works. Please do stay with us when we come back. We'll be joined by Kim Zola, and we'll be looking at getting your executive edge. Please stay with us.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Let's see if I guess that. This just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference. between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicki St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicki partners with people just like you at the exact level you need. Whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Peggy Kaler and West Star Mortgage in Duval, we cover the world of animals. This week, July 27th, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's shelter, rescue sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends, with Kathy and Christy taking over the show for me. They've been working hard, researching great information to share, and planning new features. Plus, they'll check in with all of our regular rescues and sanctuaries. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk, 1150.
You know what happiness is.
Well, I'm talking with Kim Zoller, co-author of Enhancing Your Executive Edge, How to Develop the Skills to Lead and Succeed in this segment. Kim and co-author Kerry Preston are partners in Image Dynamics, where they've have more than 20 years experience building successful customized coaching programs for Fortune 500 companies around the world. Together, they've trained and coached more than 100,000 individuals. They're recognized experts in business protocol, branding, leadership development, communication skills, presentation, and sales training. And Kim and Kerry are also the authors of You Did What? The Biggest Mistakes Professionals Make. And you said what? The Biggest Communication Mistakes Professionals Make. And this new book, of course, is called Enhancing Your Executive Edge, How to Develop the Skills to Lead and Succeed. Kim Zoller, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So first of all, tell me why you founded ID Image and what you were doing that led up to that.
You know, it's interesting. My background was human resources. And I worked at a staffing agency, you know, a place where people would go to for temporary and permanent jobs. And they came in and they were amazing at what they did, but they could not get the job. And so they had the skills, but they didn't have the interpersonal skills to actually get the job. So I went, I left the agency and actually went back to school to focus and get an MBA in human resources, and in the middle of that thought, you know what, there's an absolute need out there. I'm going to give this a shot, and really called all our human resources clients and said, would you hire me? And they all said yes, and here we are 22 years later, and it's still focused on one core thing, and that is how to give people an edge in this highly competitive business world.
Right. You know, even if somebody has no aspirations to be an executive, it is still about your interpersonal skills. And there are many, many studies out there and have been for many years citing that you get the job because of your technical abilities,
right,
but you keep the job and get promoted because of your interpersonal skills.
Yes.
So let's look at a very high level of what you mean by interpersonal skills.
So interpersonal skills can have to do with I think Kerry and I both agree that the basis for all of interpersonal skills is to decide who you want to be at work and how that authentically fits with you as a person. And so that is developing a personal brand, and everything else flows from that. So when we talk about interpersonal skills, it's everything from your day-to-day of how you present yourself, how you deal with yourself in meetings, how you deal with other people, how you deal with the triggers that happen constantly at work, how you dress, how you hold yourself, your body language, your small talk, how you network your business, how your social and emotional intelligence. Are you thinking about that, or are you just, you know, going through your day, dealing with things as they come across, and in any way, and not realizing the ramifications of that?
Mm.
So it's very interesting. When we talk about interpersonal skills, you see that it gets as really as nitty-gritty as how you actually decide to get dressed that morning, to how you your overall demeanor. And, you know, Vicki, as you say, this isn't about getting a promotion. For many people that we, you know, who we work with, they want to be promoted. But there are many people who say, you know what, I've been here a long time. I like what I'm doing. I have no desire to go through and be on that corporate ladder, so to speak. But I want to be heard. I want to be able to have an idea and have someone say, that is a good idea. Let's follow it.
Right, right. Now, let's look at somebody who maybe finds themselves in a culture where they feel they don't fit. They, you know, we've all been there, I'm sure, feeling like the round peg in a square hole or the other
right.
way around, whichever
right,
you prefer.
Right.
Do you advise them to adapt? And if so, at, you know, what cost to them? Or do you advise them to, you know, develop an exit strategy and start looking for a culture that fits?
The second option is generally what happens, but this is what we say to people is this. Think about what your end goal is and what and how badly you want to be at that goal. And what we find is many times where people say, you know, I just don't fit, I just don't fit, what they realize is that they actually do fit. They just haven't been strategic in their plan. So they've been sticking to their guns, you know, almost to that saying, they cut off their nose to spite their face.
Right.
They almost stick to their guns of, this is how I am, and this is who I am, and I'm not changing, for really silly things that don't have to do with their goal. So when they realize, you know what, some of these things that I'm sticking to are not worth where I could go here. And then what they realize is that not only are they a really great part of the culture, but they are drivers of the culture. And so that's what we encourage people to do first, and to look at that bigger picture. Otherwise, it's very easy to go from place to place and say, sorry, that doesn't fit, this doesn't fit. They're always interpersonal problems with people at any company, because the dynamics of people are what they are.
Yeah, and especially in today's world, we have such
right.
a global culture that
exactly.
We've got all these different expectations and background references, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about developing our emotional and emotional intelligence and social awareness at work.
Okay.
Because I see that the social awareness is an area where I see people going wrong a lot on my consultations. So please do stay with us. I'm talking with Kim Zola. She's the co-author of Enhancing Your Executive Edge, How to Develop the Skills to Lead and Succeed, also co-authored with Kerry Preston. We'll be right back.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW-IMHO. Copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Kim Zola. She's the founding partner of ID Image, which we just heard has been around for over 20 years now. And she's the co-author of Enhancing Your Executive Edge, How to Develop the Skills to Lead and Succeed. So we've already established, Kim, that interpersonal skills, your emotional intelligence, social awareness are critical to keeping the job that you were hired for and to getting promoted and noticed. So I wanted to look at, you know, one of the biggest areas where I see people fall down when I'm working with groups and teams is not knowing how to read other people. We've all seen people whose body language is, you know, really hurried and impatient and somebody just doesn't pick up on it. So tell us a little bit how do we read people? How do we learn that skill?
Well, the first thing is that you have to start with the foundation of all emotional intelligence, of all awareness, of all executive maturity, which is to know yourself. So it really does start with the awareness of self, of how am I projecting myself, how when I have an emotion or I have a facial expression or my body is doing something, how does that affect other people? So we start with that. And there are many people who have no idea that the rolling of the eyes, the huffing, the puffing, the crossing the arms, the slumping when they walk into a meeting, how walking down a hallway, how that affects other people. So because they're not aware of how it affects other people, they're not aware of how those people are affecting them and are not aware of that there is a silent message, that people are constantly telling us things and constantly giving us feedback. And so really the key with reading people is that's the first thing. The second thing is that to open your eyes and realize that it's not only the words that people are saying, but approximately 55% of the outtake or the intake of what we're pulling in is really from other people's body language. So it's an awareness of, are they engaged in this conversation? What's their body doing? Are they leaning away? Are they trying to change the conversation? Does their breathing change when I'm talking to them? Did their bodies start to move when they were still? And when we're aware of all these things, that's really how we become more socially aware, which affects our social and our emotional intelligence.
Right. So what do you tell people when they say, look, I've been talking to this person, it might be a boss, it might be it might be a team member, it might be a peer, I've been talking to this person about this issue and they say they get it, but I know they're just not hearing me, because we've all been in that situation too.
Right, right.
So how do we get somebody to actually hear us?
So that's what that we get into when we talk about that is you really have to get into good, you have to get into good listening skills of realizing why they're not hearing you and actually lead that person through that conversation. And the way that we do that, and we use our emotional intelligence, and by the way, I don't know if everyone knows this, but what's so great about emotional and social intelligence and awareness is that this is something that we can actually grow in the brain and become stronger at. And unlike our IQ, which is it's ours forever, mm-hmm. all of this other is growth. And so what we do in a situation like that is to actually lead people by asking them to make sure to paraphrase, to try and get them to repeat what we've said. So even if we say, I want to make sure that I'm telling you this correctly and that I'm saying it in a way that you're hearing. So let's go through what you heard. That way I can adjust if I'm saying it in a way that isn't good enough. It truly is putting it on you and not putting it on that other person, because statistically we have the ability to change up to 97% of what we hear and make it mean what we want it to mean.
Right. You say we need to be aware that in most situations in the workplace, there is a hidden agenda there.
Yes.
So how do we pick up on those clues? Sometimes it's very obvious and sometimes it's really not.
Well, the first thing is to do your homework before you do anything else. Start finding out what's important to that person. And then you have to be able to, in meetings or even in one-on-one conversations, to ask the right questions. Like, out of this, what is most important to you? What message do you want to get across? With hidden agendas, many times people just aren't asking what is most important to the person. And if they went down that road and they really started to hear and started to lead with those questions, they would find out that it's not about what they thought it was about, but it's actually about something completely different.
Yeah, you have a great chapter in the book which kind of follows on for that, and it's called Building Your SAP, Your Strategic
Yes.
Alliance Plan. So
Yes.
why is it so important for us to be so strategic about building alliances?
It's so critical. I'm sure you've had this too. You sit in so many meetings, and if people are not advocating for you, many times people get left behind. We have it constantly where people say, look how good I am at my work. Why isn't everyone noticing me?
Mm-hmm.
And when you build a strategic alliance plan, and in the book it is really laid out how to go about that. Every person who we coach, we go through this. This is our first thing that we do. Where are you? Who do you influence? How are you influencing them? And are they your advocates? And ultimately, again, whether it's to be promoted, where we started this conversation, or it is to be heard in your conversation so that you're effective in what you do, or both, it's so important that the people around you are following you and are speaking up for you and saying, yes, you know, so-and-so had a good idea. That idea that Vicki had was so good, and then influence someone else. It really is, in our work today, if you don't build a strategic alliance plan, you may get somewhere. You just aren't going to get as quickly as you could.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of truth to what we probably were all told by our grandparents way back. The company, you know, people judge you by the company you keep.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have to pay attention to that at work, in the work situation. One of the things I want to address here is quickly, because we don't have too much time here, but in the book you say that everything you've got, everything you've achieved, you've asked for. And we know that women are notoriously bad at asking for things. So tell us a little about that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I had just mentioned to you that when people say, I'm so good at what I do, I'm so good at what I do, you know, shouldn't everyone know this? Well, you know, here's the news flash of the day. Everyone's so busy, they're not thinking about how good you are at what you do. And so we really do have to ask for what we want and what that means. And you're right, specifically about women, because men are much better. All the studies show that when men want something, like if a man wants a promotion, 9 times out of 10, he is going to tell someone, he's going to tell the right people, he's going to make sure everyone knows it, he's going to be fairly strategic about it. Women are waiting for people to notice them. They're waiting for someone to say she's so good at what she does. She doesn't want to toot her own horn. So it is so incredibly important, like all the women's groups I work with, go and tell people. Find your mentors. Let them be your advocates. Tell people in meetings, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. How can I get there? What do I need to do to make that happen?
Mm.
And man, if you're a man or a woman, it's critically important. But for women, it's even more, because it is unnatural to most women to ask for what they want.
Yes.
But it's critical.
It is. I agree with you. It is totally critical. And I think the information you put out in the book about recognizing that is really well done. If somebody reads this book and doesn't pick up on that, I don't know what they're reading. But the book is called How to Develop, Enhancing Your Executive Edge, How to Develop the Skills to Lead and Succeed. And a final 10-second tip you'd like to leave our listeners with, thought.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you so much. And the final thought is that if you are trying to be heard, if you're trying to get somewhere, you have to be strategic in what you do. That is the time that we live in. And you can have fun with it and enjoy it, but we have to be strategic in how we build our brand and how we build our careers.
Got it. Thank you so much, Kim Zola, co-author of Enhancing Your Executive Edge with Kerry Preston. You can find out more about the work they do at ID Image at idimage.com. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back next week with an all-live show. We're going to actually do a little celebration next week because it's our anniversary. So please do join us. You can find me at info@conversationslive.net. Live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.